Obituary. Simon Verity, the stonemason who worked in the medieval way, died on August 11th, aged 79.
The first thing you noticed about Simon Verity was his hair. It stuck out in wild grey corkscrews, as if sprayed with the fiercest sort of gel. That grey was not a sign of age, or only partly. It was mostly stone dust, accumulated until he could never wash it out. That same dust covered the rest of his comfortably trampish clothes. When he walked down the street, he liked to think, he looked like an apparition. Inside that head, he carried secrets. They were the same that had passed between masons and were kept close in the 13th century. The secret of architectural proportion, and of how to erect and balance, like fine branches, masses of cut stone. Whenever he started a cathedral job, making that first chip, he thought of the builders who had preceded him. Those masons had understood the cosmos as sacred geometry, and that was his conviction also. The tools he carried, accordingly, were like theirs. He used a hammer, a chisel, and a mallet, patiently probing and hitting the stone to reveal the forms that lay inside. A blow every second for each two-hour session, thousands of blows a day. He did not go by drawn designs, because the stone itself, a soft and muted pitch here, hard and ringing there, had its own song. He followed that. People passing below him as he worked on some cathedral face heard a sound like a woodpecker, tap, 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 tap. Often they stopped to shout encouragement or advice. The whole experience was exactly what medieval masons would have known. Pigeon dung in his eyes, the bone chill of a chisel in December, the distractions of the crowd, the sempiternal dust. Like them, too, he was picked by bishops and princes. His chief cathedral commissions were at Wells and Exeter in England, his home country, and most famously the making of 31 statues of Old Testament figures for the Portal of Paradise, the Great West Door of St. John the Divine in New York. He was also commissioned by Charles III, when Prince of Wales, to carve Wales for him, and by Elton John to create a giant garden teacup from shards of broken crockery. Because his first skill had been as lettering that danced across stone, the families of John Betjeman, Nancy Mitford, and Lady Diana Cooper ordered headstones from him. For patrons on both sides of the Atlantic, he made garden seats. Statues, mosaics, and fountains, and at various great houses, chiefly in England, including at his old school Marlborough, he restored derelict 18th-century grottos to their previous dim, fantastic state. At Leeds Castle, he dug out a new one. If he had any sorts of genius which he never liked to boast about, it was finding and handling strange materials. When he lived in New York, as he did from 1989, he was commissioned to make a piece to illustrate Mayor David Dinkins' description of the city as a gorgeous mosaic. This called for thousands of tesserae, or tiny squarish bits of Murano glass, and 40 to 50 sorts of stone. He included two chunks of burned bricks, pieces of curbstones, and fragments of a plate-glass door, anything that crossed his path. His grottos needed not only shells by the cartload, cowries and abalones were his favourites, but coral, minerals, ferns, antlers, pieces of mirror and clear crystal. His aim was to create a world of rocks in combination with flowing water. Stone, though, remained what he most loved to play with. He had left Marlborough unhappy both with his school and his family's long line of architects, but his great-uncle, Oliver Hill, offered him a refuge in the Cotswolds. Hill was an architect too, but also an interior decorator, fascinated by materials. A weekend visit lasted 5 years, during which his young nephew tried printing and lettering, learned the geology of England, and decided he wanted to cut stone. His apprenticeship as a mason was at Wells Cathedral in Somerset, working Bath limestone. An early public commission was at Canterbury, carving out the letters that mark the site of Becket's shrine. He moved on to Purbeck, Portland, and Haunton Stone. To carve it, he needed to understand it. When he laid and engraved Caithness Flagstone on a pathway in Lower Manhattan to commemorate the Britons who died in the 9/11 attacks, he went to the Highlands to feel its history. But America was the biggest revelation. So many marvellous kinds of stone, from the pink granite pavements of Tribeca to the red lava of New Mexico, and in such huge slabs which he ached to get his hands on. His work at St. John the Divine, with several assistants drawn from multiple backgrounds, took him from 1988 to 1997. There he tackled 8 foot or 3 foot 6 blocks of fine Indiana limestone. The figures for the portal could not be cut in a workshop, but had to be carved in situ, high above Amsterdam Avenue. Braced up there, he coaxed out Abraham and Sarah, Jacob and Moses, Elijah and Elisha. The upper rank of figures had to be painted, so he made his own, using the mineral crystals mentioned in the Book of Revelation, malachite, beryl, chrysoprase. As for the statues' faces, they were based on people he knew. His friend Naomi became Naomi. Daniel from the cathedral staff was Daniel of Lyons fame. George, who ran the local coffee shop, turned up as Simeon. The work reflected the street where it was done. Medieval people had known that they were building blocks in a greater whole, and all connected, especially in works of devotion. Perhaps Manhattanites could feel the same. Beyond that, he also hoped to encourage the flow of life, the movement of shapes within stone, of water over rocks, of feet over paving, in the passing of time, of his own hammering arm. Sometimes a spark came and he felt a sudden blissful connection to the energy of all creation. He could not make that last, but he settled for feeling that he had added some beauty to what he had worked on and larger purpose. Through the portal of paradise, as any medieval mason would have thought, anyone might enter, and he might enter, his wild hair a nimbus already, to be transformed.